This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. A member of Iraq's Independent Electoral Commission says he expects 7 million to 8 million Iraqis to vote in the January 30th elections. That's roughly half of Iraq's eligible voters. Voters who live in violent areas will be allowed to cast their ballots elsewhere in safer places. In all cases, says the commissioner, voters will be allowed to register and vote on the same day. The elections are scheduled for 2 weeks from Sunday. With so much attention on whether Iraq will be ready, another question is largely unanswered. What will happen after the elections? One likely development is that the current Iraqi government, a strong U.S. ally, will be replaced by one far more independent of Washington. NPR's Tom Gelton reports on what that could mean for the future of American troops in Iraq.
There's a lot of suspense surrounding the Iraqi elections, but it has more to do with whether they'll come off than with who's likely to win. All signs point to a victory by an alliance of parties associated with Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, Iraq's leading Shiite cleric. The Sistani group has published a list of things it stands for. Number two on the list, a timetable for the withdrawal of the multinational forces from Iraq. Daniel Serwer of the U.S. Institute of Peace says U.S. policymakers should take this point seriously.
Whatever government comes to power in Iraq is going to have to deal with the issue of the multinational troops there. And this seems to me the predominant Iraqi view on how to deal with them, that there ought to be a timetable for their withdrawal.
A timetable could take various forms. U.S. officials hope the Iraqis would settle for a plan to withdraw U.S. forces in stages based on the achievement of specific security objectives. A schedule to withdraw troops by actual dates would meet stiff resistance from U.S. military commanders.
A timetable makes no military sense. You're just playing right into the hands of your enemy.
General Jack Keane, formerly the Army's Vice Chief of Staff, visits Iraq regularly as a Pentagon advisor. A fixed timetable would encourage insurgents to keep fighting, he says, because they realize time is on their side.
Listen, the insurgents have a capability to maintain some level of violence that would make certain parts of Iraq non-permissive. That is, it's not secure. And they'd be able to do that for years. That's the reality of it. And I think once we share with a new government the intelligence on the insurgency, I think realistically they'll understand that a fixed timetable doesn't make any sense. Something more loosely constructed probably does make sense. It's not something that you would certainly want to announce.
Some agreed upon benchmarks, perhaps. The question is whether a loose withdrawal plan would meet an Iraqi government's political need to distance itself from what has become a highly unpopular U.S. military occupation. U.S. officials say they can imagine each Iraqi group finding its own reasons to support at least a reduced U.S. presence. A Shiite-led government may fear that Sunni insurgents will attempt a military coup. Daniel Serwer, a U.S. peace negotiator in the Balkans, says the Sunni and the Kurds, for their part, may want some U.S. troops in Iraq as a counter to the Shiite majority.
Over the longer term, as the months pass, and the practical implications of American withdrawal become apparent, I think you could see some consensus among Iraqis emerging that somewhat reduced and much less visible American force would be desirable.
In fact, the U.S. presence in Iraq should come down in any case. The current elevated force is due to a temporary overlap between troops scheduled to leave and those coming in as replacements. Some analysts say that drawdown in the aftermath of the election of a more independent Iraqi government could be seen in the region as a blow to U.S. prestige. Tom Donnelly of the American Enterprise Institute also sees long-term costs if a new Iraqi government follows Saudi Arabia's example and says no to permanent U.S. military basing in the country. Still, he says, the United States is now committed to the idea that a democratically elected Iraqi government has the right to make its own choices.
We have to be willing to make concessions and do things that might make our lives more difficult or the lives of our forces more difficult, but are strategically wise and politically wise. Look, we got to make this work, and our interest in this experiment in Iraqi and Arab democracy is really long-term, so that may mean we have to take some short-term hits to make it work in the long run.
The long run, of course, is still a ways away. For the moment, U.S. commanders would be happy just to make it through the elections with a minimum of disruption. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.